Okay, good morning. We're up to Perek Hey. Towards the very end, we are up to Pasik Chaf. V'lama Sishke V'ni V'zara. Okay, by the way, just one last, you say this on Perek Pasik Yates. Ayelas Ahavim V'yalaschein Dedecha Yiravucha B'choleis B'havosa Tishke Samid. There's a popular medrash in the word Samid. Samid is an allusion, is a hint to the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid is obviously the carbon we bring every single day. It's the primary carbon, and the Gemara makes a drash that the person studies Torah, a person learns Torah every single day. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if he has offered a carbon on his, carbon to him. I'll read you the words of the medrash. Where exactly is it? Omar Rebbe Levi Rebbe Chia be'ahavasa tishke samid mahu samid. Why does the pasuk have to use this powerful word samid? Im hayisa osuk b'toira, a person learns toira. Choshev ata ki ilu tamidin ata makriv lefanai b'chol yoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers toira. The Torah as if you offer in the place of bringing korbanos, like we say very often, neshalma farim sifaseinu, with our lips. It doesn't just mean to read, to be mispalel, but it also means zois toras oila kol misha oisek b'toras oila ki'ilu hikrav oila. Now this medrash fits very nicely with another chazal, that of the ayelas. The pasuk here is discussing primarily the study of Torah. We mentioned yesterday, I'll read you this medrash, this is a Gemara in Masechta Ervin. The Gemara says, Lama nimshlu divrei Torah kidad? Why are divrei Torah compared to the dad, to the breast of a woman? Ma dad ze kol zman she'atinek mimashesh boi moitzei boi cholav, a child will always find milk. Af divrei Torah kol zman she'odom hoige, a person meditates in the words of Torah, bohen moitzei bohen tam, will find understanding, will find reasoning. So the pasuk, the Pshuta Shalmik, according to all the commentators, refers to the study of Torah. Yet there are two key words that refer to korbanos, refer to the koyach hatfilah. Number one, samid, the very end of the pasuk, which Chazal explicitly say, if you learn Torah, it's simply a korban. And the very first word of the pasuk, ayeles. Why ayeles? Because ayeles, Chazal tell us, is the creature which is the shliach tzibur of all the balei chayim. Whenever there is a drought, a famine among the animal kingdom, the medrash, I don't know exactly how this works today, what scientists have to say about this, but Chazal say that whenever there is a drought, all of the creatures of the animal kingdom approach the ayala, the female hind, and they say to her, please, be mispalel on our behalf, pray for us. And the ayala puts its horns, digs its horns into the ground. What? So it says in the medrash, it puts its horns, that, yeah. I think it's the same thing. The ayol and the ayola. Okay, I think it's the ayola. I think it's the feminine. If I'm not mistaken, ayolas is the feminine. Ayola shlucha. I believe it's the ayola.
For speed.
What?
That's known
for speed. Ayola shlucha. But it's also known the ayola is the Naftali, also is the Baal Tfila. Naftali, lakim Naftali in Machoitzigam Yecholti. Naftali means to wrestle. And Tfila also is Pilel, also means to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a conversation, in some type of dialogue, in some type of entreaty. So yes, Naftali was also Chazal, very much relate. Naftali relates to being the Shliach Tzibur for the Shiftei Kah. Indeed, it's so. And Chazal make it very clear, as it's the ayol, if I'm not mistaken, it's not the ayol, it's the ayolah, that when the animals find themselves in a state of trouble, they approach the ayolah, and they ask her, please do us a favor, please represent us, be misfalo to Hashem. The ayolah puts its horns into the ground, gives out a sound, and that's an expression of prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem responds by bringing rain, sustenance for all of the animals. So it's very interesting, because this pasuk here, pasuk Yutes, which is primarily the focus, is divrei Torah, the study of Torah, dadeha yiravucha b'chol eis, discussing the love of Torah, be'ahavasa tishke samid, and discussing the A person that learns Torah, a chut shel chesed moshe cholecha. A person that learns Torah in the morning is delabai a chut shel chesed. People the entire day they like to be in the company of such a person who is engaged in Torah. He has a certain type of grace, a certain chain. Yet the pasuk, which focuses on divrei Torah, is sandwiched with two concepts that focus on tefillah. On the Kaycha Tzila, the Ayeles, from all the different creatures, we focus on the Ayala, which is the Shliach Tzibur, and the word Tishke Samit, Major telling us, if you learn Torah, it's as if you brought a carbon to me every single day. What is a carbon? A carbon is a form of Tefillah. This brings out the concept, this concept of, you cannot separate Torah from Tefillah. Torah and tefillah are two sides of one coin. The only way a person will be zeicha to a siyat d'shmaya in tefillah is through the koyach of Talmud Torah. And the only way a person will merit siyat d'shmaya in Talmud Torah is through the koyach of tefillah. It's not for nothing that many people, they like to go back to their yeshiva on the Yom Ha'aram, the Yimei Adin. I mean, it's a big thing. The Ein Daimel, going to a place where they learn, you want the Zechus of Torah to accompany you on the day Yimei Adin, when the focus of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Tzvila. We mentioned, we learned, blowing in the shofar, the meaning is to put the Sefer Torah on the Bima. Now, with Ayi Davin, they actually had the Sefer Torah on the Bima, and it was not covered. They took off the covering, like we discussed this, not to hold it, but to put it on the bima and to blow shofar. Blowing the shofar represents the purest form of tefillah, and you want to have the Sefer Torah on the bima at that moment in time, that we should use the zechus of Torah in order to elevate the koyach tefillah. We see that in this pasuk, the combination of these two go together. Torah Tfilah, the Gemara in fact talks about Abayin Rava, I'm not sure which one, but he said that I only want to daven Bene Amude. I daven in the same place where I learn. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Chaf. Lama Sishke Vini Vizara Usechabek Chek Nochriya. Shlomo goes on to say, I've told you what to do, why? The point of the simple interpretation is don't be unfaithful to your wife. Let's see what it says here in the Pasuk Chaf in the Mitzudos. V'lama sishkei ratzolaymar im b'ishtai techashev hatmidus l'mishka. If in your wife you will consider the tmidus l'mishka, an obsession. We'll just translate now the word l'mishka to mean an obsession. If you will be obsessed with your wife, the love of your wife, continuously, lama take al roish lishkois bizarra. So why then would you lighten your head and do something foolish and be obsessed with another woman? Why would you do such a thing like that if you have a wife? Pasuk Chafalf and Rashi ki neichach. I'm sorry, there is no Rashi. There is no Rashi here on this pasuk. Let's show you one more pasuk. Pasuk Chafalf ki neichach eine Hashem darke ish. Don't think that you can get away with it. I have a wife, but I also have a mistress, and I'll get away with it. No, it doesn't work like that. Opposite the eyes of Hashem are the Darke Ish, are the ways of men, v'chol mag loisav mifales. Okay, now there are two mahalchim to translate the end of this pasuk, and it's a very deep, 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 deep pasuk. Who's the subject? Is it Hashem or is it man? So simply we'll learn that it refers to Hashem. It's poetic repetition. Opposite the eyes of Hashem are the ways of man, and all of Mag Lo Yisav, all of man's ways, all of his steps, Magal are steps, Mifales means to weigh, Hashem weighs. Hashem analyzes, He scrutinizes, He weighs man's steps to determine if they are l'shem shemayim or shloi l'shem shemayim. Let's look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Chaf Aleph, ki noichach retzolaymar or pen toimar. Person will say to himself, mi roi eini, who sees me? I have a wife, and I have a very good relationship with my wife, but I also want to have other women in my life. Behind my wife's back, who sees me? Leze Amar, you should know that Hashem knows. Da ki mul eini Hashem darke ish umiyasher magloisav. And here, okay, I told you a different interpretation. Umiyasher magloisav el hagmul. Okay, a whole new interpretation. Hashem Baruch Hu makes straight a person's steps towards his rewards. Hashem weighs reward corresponding to man's deeds. That's not what I originally told you. Ratzolaymar, mishalem mida b'mida l'das shebigmul ba v'loy b'mikra. A person gets what he deserves in this world and in the next world, and does not happen by accident. So mefales, according to the Mitzudas, means Hashem weighs reward and punishment, mida keneged mida, according to what a person steps in life, his magoilosof, his steps in life. Rashi,
judges.
Meeting out. Well, more. Well, not just meeting out reward and punishment. Well, justice is more. All right. I mean, the one in respect. Let's see if the other room. Rashi.
What if it's, according to this mature stuff, if he's defective in one aspect,
yeah,
illicit relationships, but he's good. He excels in other.
Okay, so Hashem
punishes.
No, there's no such thing. Hashem, every good deed there is reward, and for every bad deed there is punishment. One does not affect the other. Every single thing a person does is the basic yisoid. There's no such thing as you cancel one thing, cancel another. For every single action there is reward and punishment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His infinite ways is able to properly give reward and punishment without there being a conflict. From one to the other. Look at Rashi.
The fact that Shlomo had 1,000 wives doesn't come into play here.
Well, according to halacha, you're allowed to have more than one wife. Yevamis. Everyone learning. Yeah.
Another wife. Right?
But this means where it's unacceptable. Cherem benu gershom. You're not allowed to have another wife. You're not allowed to have. It affects because we are today are not on a level where we can successfully maintain multiple relationships. We're not on that it requires enormous amount of, first of all, wealth, okay, to support properly. Most people can't even support one household, right? So what can you do? That's the way it is. You do the best you can do. But to go take upon yourself a second wife when you're not even really doing what you're supposed to be doing.
I'm not told you're allowed to.
You're allowed to. But Chazal have stepped in Chay Rabbeinu Gershom. It's unacceptable.
But this was written before
Chay Rabbeinu Gershom.
No, so here he's talking about where it's not in the framework of marriage.
Okay.
It's done. He's philandering. It's not done properly. It's mashma. I once read it. I don't remember the details, but years ago you actually learn yevamis. Okay, so yevamis, you learn about marrying multiple wives. Today you're learning yevamis, multiple wives, tsaros. So it seems you read from the Gemara. You see from the Gemara, like, oh, it's very common, time of Chazal, you know, people have 5 wives, 10 wives, and they have all these situations. I don't know the details, but what I've read is that historically, it was, even in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, it was extremely rare, if not non-existent, for a man to have more than one wife.
Right.
And Chay Rabbeinu Gershom just came along and just put the nail in the coffin. He just solidified it. He wasn't mechadish anything that already wasn't in practice. Adrava, people were getting a little bit loose. Niskatnu hadaros, people began to entertain machshavas. Oh, you know, maybe I can marry another wife. Why not? You know, I have a business in one country, so I'll have a wife there and a wife over here. What's so terrible? So he says, no. Don't get any ideas. Stay the course. No one's marrying more than one wife for many, many reasons, whatever we all understand is how complicated it can be. And therefore, he just solidified it by putting a chem upon a person that he would even think to do something. So, Shlomo HaMelech, a king is different. A king is different. 18, Shlomo had more. Shlomo made a cheshvan that says, because Shlomo yosel levavai. By me, it's not going to happen. By me, it's not going to happen if we took any wives. And that was his downfall. Okay, so here we have this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're doing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will mete out reward and punishment according to a person's steps in life. Rashi is a little different. Rashi says word mefales does not mean to give reward, to dispense reward and punishment. Rather, mefales means, just like I told you originally, to scrutinize, to analyze a person's ways. You're doing this. Why are you doing this? You're doing this l'shem shemayim, or you're doing this for your own kavod, your own pleasure. Rashi, shoykel dirochav. Hashem weighs a man's ways. V'yodeya Kama avoinois, the kama zuchuyois v'yada. Knows a person's deeds, merits, and sins. Now, all both common denominator between Rashi and the Mitzvah David is the word mefales refers to Hashem. Hashem is giving reward, or Hashem is analyzing a person's ways. Other commentators say no, mefales refers to a person. That a person, it's a warning, being that pasuk chaf alav is not poetic repetition; it's instruction. Being or because kineichach einei Hashem darkish, because the eyes of Hashem are upon the ways of man. Therefore, watch out. Pasuk is giving instructions to man. V'chol magloisav mifales, a person should weigh and measure his steps in life. Because whatever you do, Hashem is watching. Dan, this is what the Medrash says. In fact, this interpretation is from Chazal. Chazal actually says, this is the source. Da. Oh, where is it here? One second. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shreikah V'dikah Ma'avonetz Kamas Chislo. Let's see if I could find it. Yeah, here it is. Mikan Amru Chachamim Da Ma L'malam Mimcha Ayin Roa V'Oizin Shamas. Okay, Avos Perik Beis. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Makar. According to the Yalkut Shemoni, the Makar, what it says in the Perikei Avos, Da Ma L'malam Mimcha Ayin Roa V'Oizin Shamas, this pasuk is Ki Nechach Eini Hashem Dar Keish. Therefore, watch out! The whole maglosa b'falsa, a person should measure his ways and not do any avos. Now, besides that, these two interpretations, the third interpretation, which touches upon probably the most the biggest dilemma, the most complex dilemma in the world, and in as far as in yadus in the religion, and that is if a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. So how does that fit in with Bechira? I have a choice. Hashem is giving me a choice to do good or to do bad. But Hashem knows what I'm going to do. If Hashem knows what I'm going to do, that forces me to do whatever I'm going to do. It's not my choice. How do we, if you think very deeply into this concept, how do we reconcile these two concepts? Bechira chofshis, free will, versus the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the emunah that we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen in the future. So the idea answer given is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel is mitzamtzem. Hashem knows the future, but Hashem is mitzamtzem. He kaviyochel, he limits himself. Shakai sha'omar li'olamoydai, in order that man can have true free will. It's a very deep, very, very deep concept. And a lot of the Achronim, not everyone agrees with these ideas. There are many variations of what this means exactly. But this entire concept is rooted in this very pasuk. This very pasuk begins, Ki noichach einei Hashem darkei ish, which means, in the big picture of things, Hashem knows the future. In front of Hashem, opposite Hashem, are the ways of man. Everything that's going to happen. Yet, the whole maglois of mefales, man has free will. Man should weigh his steps. Man has free will in what he does in this world. Okay, let's take a look at okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk chaf beis avinoisav yilki duno. Now, this is a very unusual word. Yilki duno means his sins will trap him. Really, it should have said yilki duhu. And indeed, Rashi says that's really what the pasuk means. Kemo yilki duhu. It's an unusual usage of the word. Es horosha, the wicked man. Uvichav lechatoso yitomich, and he will be supported by the rope of his sin. According to Rashi, we read Rashi right away, it means very simple. It couldn't be simpler. When a Rasha is convicted of his crimes, what do they do with him? They put him up on a, they hang him. They put him up on a rope. They strangle him. And when they're strangling him, the rope is supporting his weight. And that's how he dies. That's exactly what Rashi says. Avinesav Yilkidu no. Don't read a Yilkidu no. Read as if it says, Kmo Yilkidu hu. Uvechav lechatoso yismoch. Yitle. Yitle means he will be suspended. Shahatolui, someone who is suspended, who is executed by being suspended, strangulation, nismach bechevel, he is supported by a rope, shahu toli, by which he is suspended on. Okay, mitsudos, let's see, this is pasuk habeis, avoynesav, avoynes harasha heim yilkidu oiso, the sins of a rasha, they suspend him. Yilkidu oiso, ulitoisvois deyor, and to add more explanation, Omar Esarasha, it's obvious that we're referring to the Rasha, the sins of the Rasha will cause him to die, he'll be trapped in his own sins. The sins of a Rasha is what brings about his downfall. Uvichavle, Bahavolim, Hanasa Mechatasso, Bohem Yenishan. Now what does that mean? Kasha Yitlu Bohem when he's hung by them. What does that mean? Exactly suspended by them. So according to the Mitzvahs, he tells us, don't learn like Rashi, don't take this literally, that he is convicted as a murderer, whatever he is, and they strangle him, and they kill him with hanging him. Rotzulaimar. Ho'avoin atzmo, it's an expression, the sin itself, yekatreg olav, will serve as an accusing angel, the yifra mimenu, and will punish him. This is pretty much rooted in Kabbalah. Kabbalah, we have a tradition, every time a person does an avera, he creates a malach. A malach that is an adversary, that is an accusing angel. Every time a person does a mitzvah, he also creates a malach. And whenever a person is in a difficult situation, the malachim that have been created through the person's sins and mitzvos come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they argue and they accuse on his behalf for better or for worse. That's really what he's saying. This, like we, they tell you in cheder, in elementary school, they tell you this idea, you do an aver, you create a malach. It's mamash what it says over here. The sins, the avaynesav yilkiduno, they'll trap him. It's an expression, the sins themselves, they will go on, they will serve as the accusing angels in Shamayim. Yehudah Yaakovin, Vayishach Yaakov Malachim El Esav Ochiv. Yaakov sent Malachim to greet Esav, his brother. What does Rashi say? Malachim Mamish. First Rashi in Parashas Vayishlach. Malachim Mamish. And what did the Mepharshim say? Which Malachim did Yaakov send? Yaakov for 22 years was doing mitzvahs. Which malachim did Yaakov send Esav? So Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefonav. What's the first letters? Vayishlach. Yaakov is Yud. Vav Yud. Malachim is Mem. Lefonav is Lamed. Vayomol. The malachim that were created at the time of his own bris milah, or at the time when he circumcised his 12 children. Those malachim that Yaakov created by doing those mitzvos were the malachim he sent to Esav. Why did he dafka send those malachim? Because Esav did not have a bris milah. Esav could do the match. Yaakov, you're sending malachim? You're trying to scare me? What did you do? You Shema Shabbos? I'm also Shema Shabbos. Esav was also Shema Shabbos.
Yitzchak didn't mal Esav?
No, he didn't. No.
Really?
No, Esav a Farish.
Why? Yitzchak didn't give him.
Why wouldn't he?
No, Yitzchak did not give Esav a bris. It was Sakana. When he was born, he was a reddish complexion. The doctor said it's Pikuach Nefesh. As he got older, he kept on pushing it off. Yitzchak said, Esav, maybe it's time for bris milah. So let's wait a little bit. I want to do with Groisa Kavana. I want to be bar mitzvah. Then bar mitzvah. I want to be 18 years old. You know, I want to do it at a time when I'm in a very high madrig, like Avraham, like Zeda. He was. How old was he? 99 years old. 99. Avraham. At the time of bris milah, I want to do it when I'm a bal madriga. He cleverly kept on postponing the bris milah. So what Yaakov's going to send malachim. He's trying to scare Esav. Well, I'm going to send you malachim. Shalom aleichem, malachi hashavi. It's a Kabbalah Shabbos. Esav also said Shalosh Shuras Torah. Esav also had a tish. He also was a great Rebbe and he had Shalosh. He also Shema Shabbos. He also did every mitzvah, Tayag mitzvahs. But there's one mitzvah that Esav didn't have, and that was bris milah. So here's where Yaakov had one up over him. Vayishach Yaakov malachim lefanav, malachim mamish, malachim abrismila. Esav is now scared. Yaakov Taka has something I don't have. Okay, that's just a side point to illustrate this idea that the sins of a person, they actually do the person in. Now, there's a beautiful medrash, and it really, really hits home. Yalkut Shmoni, the darsh, this very specific pasuk in reference to Haman. Haman Arasha. Haman comes to the Melech Balayla, who noted Ashnas HaMelech. King can't sleep, Achashesh can't sleep. Bring me the Sefer HaZichronos. They bring the Sefer HaZichronos. They read about Mordechai, a big son of Esteresh. Mordechai saved the life of Achashverosh by revealing the plot of big son of Esteresh. Achashverosh says, what did I do to repay Mordechai? Nothing. I got to give him reward. Oh, look who's here at the front door. Haman, let me ask Haman. What's the pasuk? What should you do for what do you do for a man that a king wants to honor? Vayom Haman Belibo. To honor Yevil Levush Malchus, Asher Levush Malchus, and bring him the Kesa Malchus, Alakut Zachen. And what does the Melech say? Maher kaches halavush v'yesasus, and bring it to Mordechai. Mordechai haYehudi asher b'shar melech. So here the gaiva, the sin, the kadis that Achash Haman thought l'mi hamelech chavetz. Who the king want to honor more than me? This is a very great sin. There's no greater sin in this world than gaiva. Every sin in this world is rooted in gaiva. Gaiva is the sherish of chet. What?
Did you tell it was
erva? Erva? That was a different time. For today's shir, you know, I am part of the Torah every day, you know, it's a different day.
I deserve it. I want it.
Every avera is rooted in gaiva. Gaiva. That's it. It's the emes. It's gaiva.
Erva is gaiva.
It was also because I want to have pleasure. I want to have time.
I deserve it.
So the guy. So this is mamish spitzgeif lemi hamelech lasos yikar yosemi meni. This is the spitz of chait. This is the makar, the shoyish of chait, and that's what did him in. Oh, don't not for you, Haman. The covet is for Mordechai. Mordechai, oh, and that's exactly what Zeresh said to her husband. This is the beginning of the end. It's mamish fits like a glove. This pasuk, where the Gemara takes avoy noisav, the sin of a person yilkidunu es harasha. The sin of the person will trap the rasha. The gaiva of Haman is what began to bring about his own downfall. And what was the end? The salisa osovias banav al ha'etz uvichavle chatoso yitomech. And he will be hung by his own ropes. The ropes, the gallows that he erected for Mordechai, from the 50 feet up, were now set up for him and for his 10 sons. This pasuk is a medrash in the Yalkut Shmoni. B'chol Magloisa, one second here. Yeah, Yalkut Shmoni in Esther. Okay, Megillas Esther. Be'oisa shah sh'amar ha'chashverosh l'haman v'asei chen l'mordechai ha'yehudi. Nival Haman. He was confused. Olav Omar Shloimai. Concerning that moment, Shlomo HaMelech said, Avoy noisav yilkiduno es harasha v'chulu v'chulu hu sova shaya shayal. He was asking for himself. And that's all built into this pasuk. Very, very powerful pasuk in the story of Achashverosh. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Hu yamus be'inimu." So this wicked man, who has, according to the Pshut Shel Mikra, who has been unfaithful to his wife, the end will be he will die be'ein musa, without any discipline. Uveroiv ivalto yishke, and in the abundance of his foolishness, he will make mistakes. to be unfaithful to one's wife is a very great. The pasuk here, according to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, is described as an ivelus. Ivelus is a very, very intense form of foolishness. There are many words in the Torah that we use for a fool: a shaita, a pesi, and but this word takes the cake. What a seal. Seal, but this word really is the most potent, the most powerful word, ivalto, in his foolishness. For a man to be unfaithful to his wife is just asking for, he's just opening up a can of worms, he's in a lot of trouble, yishka, he's going to make multiple mistakes, he will continue to make mistakes, err, and that will be a cause of great trouble. Look at the Mitzvot Pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk of Gimel is Be'ein Musar. He will die without Musar. Bavur Shalokach Musar. So the Mitzudas learns Huyamus Be'ein. He's not translating the words literally. He's translating the words he will die prematurely, seemingly, because. Okay, so he's eating the word Beshvil. That's a whole word that does not appear in the Pasuk. Bavur Shalokach Musar. He did not learn Musar. He did not take the Torah seriously, take the words of Chazal seriously, and not transgress and be have an illicit relationship. Uvavur roiv ivaltu, to his abundant foolishness, asher yishke bohem, which he has stumbled, which he has erred. Uvavur roiv, so he's, again, the Mitzvah is eating in the word vavur a second time. Two times word vavur, that's how he learned Shah in the Pasuk. Rashi says, Hu yomus be'in musr b'shvil shalokach musr. He does not explain the second half of the Pasuk, which possibly means the same thing, vavur, and because of his great foolishness, that's why Yishke, he made all of these mistakes which he has stumbled in. It's the same idea. However, okay, that's Pshat. Rashi and the Mitzvot, they're consistent. But the Medrash has a very different interpretation. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah says that's part of the punishment. The punishment is that he will forget his learning. It's a very great tzar for a person to spend his whole life studying Torah or accomplishing great things, and then to lose it. That it just, everything that he studied, it's lost from him. That is a punishment. Huyamus be'ein musr. Musr is a code word for Torah. We had this in the beginning of the parak multiple times, and Sefer multiple times. He will die without any Torah knowledge. They'll say about him, he was an Am Ha'aretz. He was not a Torah. What do you mean Am Ha'aretz? I went to Kol Chazonish. I learned there for 10 years in Kol Chazonish. I was honored. I took Bechinas and Gan Shas. There's your Bechinas. Yeah, but you don't know anything. You forgot everything. Your richest, your wickedness, your conduct has caused you to lose, to forget all your learning. That's part of the punishment. Uvarov Ivalto Yishken, with his foolishness, he will make mistakes. Okay, that just continues. And the Gemara gives an example. One of the Ishei Tanakh, Doye Kwa Doimi was a greater Talmud Chacham originally than David HaMelech. David and Doeg, they were rivals in the Beis Medrash. And Doeg, it appears, was even a greater Talmud Chacham. However, Doeg was not a Yerushalayim. Doeg, there was something, even though when they were young, everyone was putting their bets on Doeg. You know, you go to yeshiva, it's interesting, you go to yeshiva, who's going to become a gadol, who's going to become a Rosh Yeshiva? This guy. And you go look back years later, what became? The people who you thought would be the Gedolei Hadar, they're just average people, no one's an average person, but nothing special became of them, whereas people that you never would expect, they became very prominent. No one put their bets on David, everyone put their bets on Doeg. But Doeg was missing something. There was missing some salt and pepper. There was some years. What? There was a flaw in the character, a very minor flaw which you can't even detect. A certain edelkeit, which was a lack of Yerushalayim. And this already, there were telltale signs in yeshiva when they were learning that when they would study, Doeg would never be able to conclude the sugya libud hilchasa. They would learn a sugya. You'll learn the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, the Rif, the Rosh. You go with the Shulchan Aruch, you want to come out halacha lemaisa. Doeg never was able to come out lemaskana aliba de hilchasa. David, which wasn't the sharpest mind, Yet, when he worked, he came out, Alibud Hilchas, so he was able to conclude Halacha L'maisa. Why? Because he had that Yiras Shamayim that Doeg did not have. Doeg was extremely jealous. He couldn't take the fact that David ultimately surpassed him, and that's why he was always out to get him. And when there was a falling out between Shaul and David, Doeg right away took the side of Shaul, and he stabbed him in the back. By Noiv Yerakohanim, it was Doeg that told Shaul that David, the whole Noiv Yerakohanim are rebels. They gave him the lechem upon him to eat because they want him to survive. He was starving, bulmus, and they gave him the spear. The sword of Goliath was stored in a war prize in Noiv Yerak Hanim, and they gave it to David. When Shaul heard this, he wiped out the whole Noiv crime only because of the advice of Doeg Kuadoimi. He lost Chelik Lom Haba, but worse than that, worse losing is Chelik Lom Haba. We don't know what this means. What is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is the Torah you take with you to the next world. Chazal say that Doeg died in Am Haaretz. Doeg, I don't know what it means. You want to say it scientifically, Rahman al-Sun person forgets things. I don't know if it means. I don't know if we can say that because we know very big tzaddikim today that Rahman al-Sun. So I have no idea. But this is just a Chazal.
Loses all the credit.
What?
Credit.
It's more than that. It's more than the credit. It's actually the Torah is spiritual, and a toif. I forgot the pasuk. If you blink, you can forget it. Torah is extremely delicate. It's not just the credit; it's the actual knowledge. It's the actual yediyah satorah, which you need tremendous siyata d'shmai to remember your learning. And we don't know how these things work. We have no idea. Person comes to the next world. What exactly? What happens there, how it works, what your experience in this world and all the things that you've learned, it comes with you, you remember, you don't remember, I don't know, no one's going to tell us. But whatever it means, we'll take it, whatever we can relate to, Doeg was punished by forgetting his Torah knowledge. And that Chazal traced to this pasuk, who? The Rasha. Who is the Rasha? Doeg. Yomus will die be'ein Musar, without any Torah knowledge. And he will stumble. What was the stumbling? The stumbling was he said Lashon Hara. That appears to be the greatest form of stumbling, to speak Lashon Hara and to cause tsar to people. In this case, it was terrible. Noiv Yerak Hanim started a chain of events. It wasn't just that these tzaddikim died. It was David was partially responsible for this. Shaul was responsible for this. And Chazal also criticized David partially because he was instrumental in having them killed. It started a chain of events which goes on ad hayom hazeh, and that's all because of being a Rasha. Ein Musar Rodi Val Yishka. Okay, the Medrash also says that this pasuk Yishka corresponds to the pasuk that we learned yesterday, Ayelas Ahavim V'Yalaschein Dadecha Yiravucha B'Choleis Be'Avosa Tishke Sonit. So we discussed yesterday. Tishke means to make mistakes, and literally it means to be obsessed. Probably look at an English translation; they'll probably tell you it's a hard word. We quote it from Rashi. Rashi quotes what Aramaic word was? Arabic word, which means obsessed. It's not even a Hebrew word, to be obsessed. So, which also relates to making a mistake. And Rashi struggles. What's the mistake in being obsessed? Okay, so we discussed this yesterday. But here it's Mida Keneged Mida. You had an opportunity to be obsessed with your own wife. Ad Kedei Kach. That you're oblivious to your surroundings, and you make mistakes, and you're there, and you chose not to. You chose to be with a woman, to be a philanderer, to be with a woman who's not your wife. Mida keneged mida, you'll make big mistakes in life that will make a difference. There are mistakes in life, no one's watching. It's okay, you can make these mistakes. No one's going to care. It's not going to cost you any money. And then when you make mistakes, haha. The world comes to an end. You know, NASA sent up a satellite that cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and it exploded. Why? So they spent a lot of money trying to figure out why, and they concluded because there was a missing comma. There was a missing comma in the code, which caused it to malfunction. Okay, a little comma, a little dot can
the shuttle exploded with a launch because
it rings. That was a ring. So those mistakes, you know, there are mistakes and mistakes. Here, you could have made mistakes that are nonsense, and then midah k'neged midah, you chose to go off the derech. So now, your mistakes are going to cost you plenty of money. Uvroi v'alta yishke midah k'neged midah. The Medrash actually says very short. It says loy. They interpret this not in reference to your wife. The Medrash over here is taking wife as a reference to Torah. That we learned yesterday. We learned that like we learned with Reish Lakish. He was fatracht. He was thinking and learning. And because he was so fatracht and learning, he walked outside the tchum. Or the Maisa with this other person who's Sadin. What was his name? Sadino. His Sadin was in the Shuk. Elyoin, and he was darshing the Shuk HaTachtoin. I want to go back to that in a few moments. I forgot to tell you a nice little word that's not directly related to this pasuk. Lazer ben Pedas. So let me find it, because there's something nice about that. But you did a little magin. I'll find it in another safe in a moment. So there, his garment, he was fatracht in learning, so he left his cloak, expensive cloak, in the market, and he was saved. So the Medrash says, "Loi rotzo lishkois bedivrei Torah." He didn't want to make mistakes in Torah, meaning you don't want to be obsessed with Torah to the point where you make mistakes. Okay. Achshav, now I'll punish you, Hashem says. Uveroiv ivalto yishke. You'll make mistakes, foolish mistakes, that are basically going to cost you a lot of money, going to cost you a lot of things in life. Okay, just to going back, it's off the top, but it's a very cute little var. One tree already mentioned, it's kedai to say over. I saw this here in the footnote in the Das Seifrim on this Medrash with Rabbi Loz ben Pados. He was in the Shuk Tachtoin, and his Sadine was in the Shuk Elyoin. Give me one second. Here it is. Kegoin Rabbi Elozer ben Pedas. Omrulav al Rabbi Elozer ben Pedas. Shoyo Yoyshev Oisek Betar Beshuk Hatachtoin. That's what I have. Mukhot, you have? Really? Okay, this is Gemara in Erevin. Where are you quoting from? Okay, the Gemara in Erevin, it seems to say b'shuk ha-tachtoin shel tzipoiri v'tzadinoi mutol b'shuk ha-elyoin shel tzipoiri. Amr Reb Lozer pamachas, Amr Reb Lozer b'yezer pamachas ba'odam litloi umotza ba'osorf. There was a snake that was guarding it. No one should steal it. Okay, so over here he just says a beautiful drush of what in leadership. The Shuk HaElyoin refers to the aristocracy, the government, the chashuvim. His sadin. What does sadin mean? When you work for the government, they give you a special uniform. They give you a cloak. They give you a robe. Right? You're a Supreme Court justice. Your robe. So his sadin was in the Shuk HaElyoin. He was part of the government, the aristocracy. He wore the sadin in the shuk. But where was he found? He was found in the Shuk HaTachtoin, with the Hamoinam, the common man. The common man, he was busy teaching them Torah. That's true leadership. True leadership is, just because you have a sadin, you're a big macha, you're a genius macha, you're all the way up there with the politicians in the Shuk HaElyoin and Washington D.C. and you're representing whoever you're representing, you're still able to be in the Shuk HaTachtoin and be Oisik in Torah with your people. That is true leadership, and that's what we refer to with Rabbi Loza ben Pados. One more time. Shahoya Yoishev V'Oisik B'Torah B'Shuk HaTachtoin Shal Tzipoire. He was Oisik in Torah with the common man in the Shuk Tachtoin, the lower market. The lower means the common place. But V'Sadinoi, he had a cloak that was mutal in the Shuk HaElyoin with the government officials. Okay, that is a very, very nice drush. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, that concludes this parak. This parak is now complete. Now we go to parak Vav. Parak Vav begins an entirely new topic. According to the similar interpretation of the psukim, with the Shlomo Melech is giving advice, business advice, telling you how to deal with your associates in the world of business. Now, of course, Chazal are not going to take everything literally, even though we eye upon the Torah. You can take the psukim literally, as we've done in Perek Dal, in Perek Hay, and translate and explain almost every pasuk in reference to an Isha, to a woman, a man's obligation to be faithful to his wife. And likewise, an obligation, a woman has to be faithful to her husband. And then Chazal enter and they say, but don't just interpret the psukim literally, but you can also interpret it figuratively as a reference to Torah and your Shemayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to do the same thing in Perek Vav, but not in reference to a woman, but in reference to cash, in reference to business, and giving advice, but reading the psukim deeper, understanding them on a deeper level, we refers to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bini, Shlomo says to his son, Im orafta lirei'echa, if you have pledged, if you have served as a guarantor, as an orev, a co-signer to your friend, or, now I'm going to add the word or, there are many different interpretations of this possible, we'll translate it now for the moment in this fashion, or, oh, make believe we have an extra word in the pasuk, tokata lazor kapecho, you have extended to a stranger your palm, your hand, which basically means the same thing. You have served as a co-signer to your friend. Your friend needs money. He wants to take out a mortgage. The bank does not want to give him a mortgage, to give him credit. They're afraid. So you step in and say, I will be the guarantor. I will be the co-signer. The pasuk repeats that concept in two different ways. Arafta l'recha or tokata lazor kapecha. Why is there repetition? So you can say poetic repetition. The Gra says we're referring to two different types of guarantors, co-signers. Something in Shulchan Aruch and above it, see an orev stam, and there's an orev kablan. What is an orev stam? An orev stam is you cannot go to the co-signer unless the lender defaults on the loan. I'm sorry, the borrower defaults on the loan. There's a lender and a borrower. The lender, and when the time comes, when the term concludes. Comes to the borrower and says, you owe me $1,000. The borrower says, okay, in a few minutes. So the bank, I guess they have access to his assets, okay, there are laws and regulations, and if there is money in the bank, if the borrower has in the bank $1,000, so the bank will go, they'll take it, they'll just go into the bank and hack in there and take out his $1,000 and give it to the lender. But only in the event when the borrower is clean, doesn't have one penny to his name, does the lender have, then will go to the co-signer. That's called an orev stam. You have to go through the steps. First, the borrower. If the borrower does not have, then you go to the co-signer. An orev kablan, kablan means to accept upon yourself, means that the lender has a right to go to the co-signer first. If the borrower has the money, he's a multimillionaire, he's just giving the lender a hard time. He's just, every time I call, he doesn't answer the phone. Every time I tell him I want the money, he says, oh yeah, tomorrow, I'm patracht, I'm busy with my sukkah, and buying my dollar minim. The lender is just frustrated. So, you know what, I'm just going to go to the co-signer. You go to the co-signer, the co-signer says, I'm only a backup. No, you're not a backup. You're an orif kablan. You accept it upon yourself, I can go to you even first. I want my money now, you have a right to demand the money, and he must pay the money immediately. And then, of course, the co-signer will then have the trouble of going to the borrower to get reimbursed. Two different types of co-signers, and that's what
the distinction on what was the mindset of the person who lent the money in the first place. If he was going to lend it, he only wanted a co-signer.
Well, you write it down, but finish and start.
Then you can't go to him first, but if you say, I don't want to lend you money, then the guy comes along and says, listen, so I'll guarantee the money.
It's self-understood.
He wasn't going to lend him the money without your guarantee. That's what it means, that you could go to him like
in that case, it's self-understood. Right. But generally, they would actually write in the contract, it's an Orev Stam, Orev Kabbalah. So that's how the Gra.
Where's the contract, though? Where's
Yes, written the contract. That's l'chatchil, of course, written the contract. So he's telling an example where from the circumstance it's clear that's what he meant. Okay, that's a more complex situation. But generally speaking, these things are if you just have a co-signer contract, you don't have no right to go to the co-signer until you go to the borrower first. Unless you write in the shtar that this person is the orev kablon. You add that magic word. That changes the dynamics of the transaction. And according to the Gruah, that's exactly what the Pasuk of here means. The Pasuk is broken into two parts. Im bini, he's giving you business advice. Im orafta lirayacha. Number one, if you have been so kind to be a regular co-signer, where you're only the backup. Or, tokata, it's an expression, you've extended your hand. You've connected. Tokata literally means to connect. To connect, which we mean you shake someone's hands, it means you connect. Tokata lazar to a stranger, kapecha, your hand. Stranger means your neighbor who needs to connect. So you're putting it into the ground. You put the peg into the ground. Tokata lazar to a stranger. Who is the stranger? The stranger is the borrower. Kapecha, your hand. I say, don't worry, I will guarantee your loan. I'll get my money. What's in the money that's in my hand, I guarantee will be paying off your loan. Then the pasuk goes on to say, well, then the pasuk is really more. And then I kashta b'imrei ficha. Okay, we'll read this now for one moment, this pasuk as well. Or it means, let's say you insulted your friend. You have nothing. This simply means nothing to do with money. A person is in a relationship with his friend, and the words of your mouth have caused you to stumble. You said the wrong thing. Nilkadata b'imrei ficha. You've been trapped. Now, I don't know the difference, and I haven't seen anything to explain the significance of different types of why this repetition. The Gro explains repetition for the different types of co-signers, but I don't recall a difference in the different types of bad things you can say. Obviously, you can say a lot of bad things to someone else, and you can cause them pain and sorrow. So basically, you're in trouble. Why are you in trouble? Either you owe money, you put yourself in a situation where you have to pay off someone's debt, or you put yourself in a situation where your friend has bad feelings against you because of your harsh or insulting or insensitive words. So what are you to do? So Pasuk Gimel goes on to tell you, give you what? Asei zos eifo b'ni v'hinatz. Okay, so we'll read that in a few moments. The Pasuk is going to tell you the solution. Before you see... That's a different guarantor to you. From what? He should be nice to you. He's not going to want to see you because Evid Loiva Leishmalve. That's an idea. When you do someone a favor, they have bad feeling that they're beholden to you, so they distance themselves from you. There's a famous story with the Chassam Sofer. It's a little bit of a joke, tongue in cheek. But it's very, very true, where there was once a balabas, any Rav knows this, that Balabatim are prone to make trouble for the Rabbanim. The only reason why Rav survives is that, the miracle is that when one Balabas is making trouble, the other Balabas is friendly. And when the other Balabas all of a sudden has a change of heart and wants to make trouble, then the first Balabas, he did tshuva. He's now the best friend of the Rabbi. And you go through a cycle of Rabbanis. You spend the Rabbanis 30 years. It can't be at every point in time, you'll always be fighting with one particular Balabas and be friendly with another Balabas. And the miracle is, the only reason why you survive Rabbanis is because they were never all your enemies at the same time. They're your enemies at different points in time in your tenure. Okay, but the bar with the Chassam Sofer is, there was once a Balabas that gave him a very, very hard time. And he commented to someone, I don't understand why he hates me. I never did him a taiva. So what you're basically saying that's Pshat the Pasuk. Im orafta l'rayacha, im ra'l'rayacha. I've done my friend a favor. I'm your guarantor. So what happens? Now what you've really done is you've stuck out your hand to a czar. he's no longer a re'acha, he's become a stranger because he feels embarrassed, beholden to you, so he distances himself, he resents the fact that he owes you. Okay, there's another approach. I saw this in the Mamloi. It's a little similar in interpreting the pasuk in a different method. It's the pasuk is giving you business advice. If your friend comes to you and says, "I need a favor. I need to take out a mortgage. Can you be the co-signer? Can you be the guarantor?" So he's your friend. He's your rea. So you say, okay, I'll be your friend. You should realize when you enter into that relationship, don't do him a favor if you can't, at a later point in time, be cruel to him like a czar. You got to make a calculation. What's going to be now? I'm going to lend him $1,000, and in a year from now, I want my money back. In a year from now, will I be able to say, you know, you owe me $1,000? Pay up. You better give me the money. I need the money. And I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to take you to a din Torah. And if that doesn't work, I'll take you to secular court. If that doesn't work, I'll take matters into my own hands. will you be able, that you would never do this to your friend, you would never treat your friend with such cruelty, I mean, not cruelty, you wouldn't have the heart to go and take him to a din Torah and court and make trouble for him. Because he's your friend, or he is your relative. So you have to make a calculation in the very beginning. When your friend comes and asks you a favor, you have to know, when push comes to shove, will I be able to be a czar to this person? And if the answer is no, then don't do him the favor. Because if you're going to do him the favor, it's not going to be good. Because then you're never going to be able to be tovea the money back. You'll never get back the money, and you'll have bad feeling towards him. And having bad feeling towards his friend is not kedai. It would be much in your best interest not to do him the favor and stop the issue there. He might have kindness on you. Okay, so he'll have kindness on you. You didn't do him the favor, but it's better to stop it here than to extend him the loan on the risk that he won't pay back. And when he won't pay back, you're not going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to be able to be tovea. And by you not being able to tovea, you're going to have very bad feelings towards him. And that's going to start a cycle of events that are going to lead to no good. So you have to right away know, im arafta lirayecha, if you can be a co-signer to your friend, realize the day is going to come where Tokata, you're going to have to stick out your hand. Lazar, that same friend, is going to be a czar to you. You have to realize that. Kapecha, your hand, I want my money back. And if you can't come to the czar, kapecha, then you know what? Better not enter into the beginning of Erafta Lirayacha. This is what the Mamloi is, how the Mamloi interprets this pasuk. A lot of Mamloi is a liquid.
That's the necessary thing the money is due. If you lend your friend money, every time you see him and he sees you, in the back of your mind, that transaction is...
No, the world, the whole world, I think you can't say that. That's only when the loan is due, when the loan is past due. The healthy world only exists on credit. If there wouldn't be loans, that's the whole economy is built on loans, on trust. And everyone gets along. There's a certain, you get lending money, we invest, we make more money, and that's a healthy situation as long as you pay back. And if you don't pay back, when you don't stop paying back is when. If the world would not have a system where people are lending each other money, the economy would crash and the world would come to an end. That's what would happen. That's a mitzvah, economics. All right, so this is one interpretation. Now there are some other very beautiful interpretations. We have to really read the psukim ahead in order to appreciate some of these fascinating midrashim. So let's just first see the mitzudos and Rashi on these psukim, and then we'll go further. Im erafta arvus mamon b'shvilache pshut shel mikra. We're dealing here with being a co-signer. Lazar bavur hazar, on behalf of a stranger, to kata kapecha fu in kiyum v'toykif al ha'arvus. This is a handshake. It's connecting your hand to your friend is a kinyan. By one of the kinyanim of a simtusa. Simtusa means a minik ha'olam. it's accepted as the final. What do you say by diamond dealers? Mazel u'bracha. Mazel u'bracha. That's the end of the deal. So it's all, one of the kinyanim is to have a handshake. If you ever go watch a rav sell chametz to a guy, so the minig is to do every possible kinyan you can find in Shulchan Aruch. Kinyan agav, kinyan kesef, kinyan meshicha, kinyan sudar. And one of the kinyanim they do is they do a tkiyas kaf, handshake. You just say to the guy, do you agree to purchase all of the chametz that we have here on the shtaros? And he says yes, and you shake the guy's hand, and it's a done deal. My father used to sell a guy to sell with a woman for a couple of years. So he couldn't do that kinyan. He couldn't do that kinyan. And then another kinyan is to give make a l'chaim. Simtusa, so you take a cup, take a little schnapp, a cup of whiskey, and you drink a l'chaim, that's also called a kinyan. So she told my father one year, it's Ramadan, I'm fasting. So that was two out. The l'chaim was out, and the handshake was out. So what was left was kinyan kesef, kinyan meshicha, kinyan sudar, kinyan agav. Anything else I left out? Okay, maybe that was enough. I guess it was something that was... What? Just do with a woman. Okay. Do with a woman. Okay. If a woman wears a glove, so there are two in yonim. There is yes and no. As far as Nagia is concerned, yes. As far as technically speaking, it's mutter. You're not doing anything wrong. But it's still against the spirit of the reason why you would ordinarily not shake a woman's hands. Kurva, you're coming closer. I'm not, this, the din, technically speaking, you can't touch a woman. You can't touch. I'm not touching you. I'm touching your glove. But you're circumventing the whole reason why you're not supposed to touch a woman. You shouldn't come close. You're coming close to her. Okay, so yes and no. Lazar ba'avur hazar takata kapech v'hi in kiyam v'taygif al ha arvus on being a cosigner. Pasik beis mekash tehinei da shabasa lemoikesh v'milkarta ba al yidei imar picha. Now, according to the Mitzvah, it's not really clear. The Mitzvah says you shall know that by making this, seemingly the Mitzvah learns not like we're going to see. I think in the other midrashim, which are very clear. Midrashim, what I told you was mamish word for word from one of them. Maybe it's a Gemara or Medrash, but the Mitzvah seems to say that pasik beis is a continuation. The fact that you have entered into an agreement of being a co-signer means that you are now are in trouble. The trouble here means you don't have money to pay. The borrower has defaulted on the loan. The lender is on your back. He wants the money. And guess what? There's nothing in the bank. So you now are in trouble.
What is Shlomo now trying to say? What's he suddenly bringing up the story?
Of a co-signer.
I mean, there's so many things before you come to
co-signer. Why co-signer? So you have to... Why?
There must be a message here. Though.
Well, there is. The Midrashim interpret this in reference to Kol Yisrael Revim Zelozeh. They interpret this in reference to Matan Torah and to Rabbanim, people who are community leaders. There are many, many fascinating Midrashim, which we're not going to get to today, but first we have to get the Pashup Shat.
That's simple, then. Major things in life is, first one is Arava, this is money.
Right.
That's it. So he's giving you advice about money.
Right. Money, as soon as you become an Arav, you're screwed. That's it.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Right.
You're pledging yourself that you end nekash da by becoming a nekash da shebosa lemoikesh. You have stumbled v'nilkarta ba'al yidei emer picha. Okay, Rashi, short Rashi, b'nei rafta. Arvus mamon kimashmo perish rabasin. This is according to the Gemara, similarly refers to entering into an arrangement of being a cosigner. Okay, we'll leave the Midrashim for next time. Yeah?
It says in the case of Talbot, so there the drash is when means you're going to lend money.
You should lend money. It's a mitzvah.
And this also means you must.
No, this, I guess what it means here is where you're entering into an arrangement where it's not reasonable you'll be able to pay back. Seemingly, that's what it means. You don't have the means to pay back.